Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. My guest today, again this week, I have the chance to speak with Dr. Nick Bruno. He's the president here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Welcome back, Dr. Bruno.
Good afternoon, Jay. Thanks for having me.
As we are really at the end of the semester and going into the holiday break, people think of the university as being completely shut down over the holiday break, but that's really not true. There are a number of different projects that are still in the works and even making progress while most of the students and faculty are gone.
That's correct, Jay. This year is a little different in that a lot of the construction is not underway, but design and planning is continuing. We have several projects that are in different stages of design and actually implementation. Some of that will, particularly like the campus security project, will have some work going on, but not as much as it had in the past, as we've seen a lot of brick and mortar. I think we'll begin to see some of those, you know, in the probably next year this time, as the planning for some of these projects have been completed and engineers selected and so forth. So, yeah, there is a lot going on. It's just not as visible as it has been in the past.
Well, you picked one, the security project, $2.3 million, and really doing a lot to be able to enhance the already good security measures in place here at the university.
That's correct. Jay, we have a very good university police force. They do a great job. They're here all the time. You know, there's someone here when 24/7, 365. The project allows us to rekey buildings. It allows us to put in card access in many areas. Provides for some cameras, which has really enhanced security and allowed the ability of university police to see more of what's going on, even when they're not physically present. Very important project. Actually, the only project I'm aware of in a system similar to that over the last 5 or 7 years. It was a long time coming. This was a project that was actually on the request list when I was here in 2002. It was funded, I think, a year ago, maybe 2 years now. It's in full steam and moving along pretty well.
Another couple of things that are still in the works, the campus building automation project, which it's dealing with energy savings.
That's correct. We had approximately $500,000 in recovery money from the Fed, stimulus money, that's utilized for energy efficiency. And we've just received bids in, actually yesterday, in which one of those projects will automate the HVAC system or heating, cooling, ventilation to allow it to be more sensitive to the changes without physically going over there and making a change.
And that's something anybody who spent time on the university, there are times where when the weather changes as quickly as it has been over the last several weeks that you wish you just had a switch.
Absolutely. In recent years, a lot has been done to change some of those systems over. But we still have some systems that do take some time.
Also, still in the design process, or just getting into the design process, redoing all of the heating, ventilating, and air conditioning systems in the Chemistry and Natural Sciences building.
A very, very important project, particularly the ventilation component. The hoods in there where they do experiments and chemistry projects are the original units. Many of them were not built, of course, the way we design them today, where fresh air is captured to pull the fumes and gases out of the building and disperse them. The older systems actually use the air from within the room as part of that escape mechanism. And, of course, it would blow a lot of air conditioning out with it, so it wasn't very efficient, not at all. These new systems have makeup air from outside that helps provide that service. So that nearly $4 million will really make a difference in that building. Of course, it'll be more efficient because and it'll be much more responsive because it'll have the opportunity to switch from heat to cool in a much shorter time than some of the older systems did.
Also, a number of other projects that are still maybe not in the design phase yet, but still underway and maybe some fundraising going on.
There's projects being considered in athletics, in the athletic area. There are some facilities improvements that we need in those areas, as everyone knows. However, there's also some consideration being given to some projects on campus. Starting with athletics, the most current or the most active going on right now is a new scoreboard. Athletic fundraising is underway, seeking sponsors to help participate in replacing the current obsolete scoreboard. It's very old. It's not functional. It's really not a quality product out there that we need for our athletic program. Bobby Staub and Dan O'Dowd are kind of driving the fundraising to seek sponsors to allow us to move forward. We've targeted having that scoreboard in place by the fall, so that fundraising project is moving quite rapidly. There's other things over in athletic that, you know, have been brought up, and again, I would like to call them in the visioning or dream stages. We need a new track. We need a field house, which would allow for a more comprehensive training facility and offices for athletic staff and so forth that might be added to the stadium. Fant Ewing is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, assembly facility in our system. It was built, I think, in the 60s or 70s. It is it's still very adequate and still very functional, but it's not as fresh. We look at facilities like our sister institutions. Grambling has one that's opened up a couple of years ago. We did have a concept a number of years ago that we would renovate Fant Ewing and have an addition onto it for kinesiology to expand that program, which is becoming, you know, much more higher in demand. So that one, I'd like to think we'd have some discussions on and maybe rekindle the idea of requesting that as a project. Sandal Hall has been on the request list since I left, and I think it's a critical building to this institution. I think it has a lot of functionality. Of course, it's in an ideal location. We had received some funds for that building when I was here that began some design work or planning work. I've asked our facilities officers to look up everything we've had on that. That will be my top priority that I'll convey to our legislators and to the community going into this legislative session, that if there are capital outlay funds available, that we certainly want them to assist us in getting the funds to move that building to the next level.
Well, because that's for people who might not remember the name, Sandal Hall used to be the library.
That's correct.
And
that's correct.
Since then, it's been, well, there's the bookstores on the first floor, but then
right.
The rest of it has been kind of
shuffled carved
around
up.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's moved around.
We've got history museum.
Museum's
up
upstairs, and admissions is in part of it. It'll allow us to consolidate some functions that are now strewn all over campus because of its central location. People coming into the campus, it's easy to get to. It's close to the library, our signature building, right by the Student Success Center. I mean, it just has great opportunities. Unfortunately, it's not been a priority of the campus up to now, but we want to move that priority forward. It's something that we have to do. There are several other buildings on campus that I would like to discuss with appropriate parties to see how we begin to put those in the wish list for state funding. There are still a lot of buildings on our campus that are very functional, but they're not as fresh. So they need renovations, whether it's air conditioning, windows, whatever the case. Some, quite frankly, there may be a couple of buildings I would even consider demolishing because they just don't fit into what I see as ULM in the next 10 years. So it's a process we'll do. I'm hoping by the first quarter of next year, some collective ideas will come forward. I'll probably ask our university relations folks to give us a website, maybe seek some input from the campus community and so forth about what we can do in the building. And just start to sort through that and have a little more collective input on that.
Well, then all of this really points to looking at conceiving a facilities plan, an overall plan for the university.
That's correct. I think it sets several tones for the campus. Of course, being fortunate enough to being here and being part of the housing renovation, the student union, the health center, I witnessed the excitement and the energy that went on with that. We can't allow that to just go away. A campus facility plan should be a living document. It should continue the process. We shouldn't be out of the business, you know, 5 years at a time, because capital outlay is a long-term process, and you should have projects to where there are different stages during different terms. So you should have some in planning, some in construction, and then some finishing and others coming through the system. So they have to piggyback. Good, effective facilities planning has to have them all back-to-back. So where one building is completed, you have another one that you're starting. It keeps the energy going. It keeps the upgrade of the facilities going. And most important, Jay, particularly right now in our current budget environment, you know, it shows permanence. ULM is here. ULM is staying. You know, we're looking forward to the future, and we're going to have the facilities it takes to have that academic program out there.
Also, a lot of activity going on campus today and tomorrow coming up with fall commencement, and you're the commencement speaker this year.
I am. It was suggested that I consider doing that. At that time, there was not a commitment to another speaker. Thought it was a great opportunity to have to address the faculty and the students, the first opportunity I've had for those larger groups to discuss my thoughts on ULM. So I'm really looking forward to it. My wife and youngest daughter will be here to witness that. So by Saturday afternoon, I will have been critiqued, you know,
that you've
pretty
got
rigorously. Yes,
okay.
I have their feedback by Saturday afternoon. So, but I'm looking forward to it. I really am. My goal is to try to link our very illustrious past to what I see as our future. So I want to carry that forward, that theme forward to our students and our faculty, and hopefully begin to set the tone for the messages that will be coming in the early part of next year for ULM.
Because I think maybe a lot of people would see this as even kind of a state of the university from you. This is your first really large volume that you're dealing with faculty, students, their families, and the greater university community.
Yeah, to some extent, you're right, Jay. I won't be presenting, you know, a lot of where we are and where we're going. I want to instill or to rehash where we've been and how we can draw upon those lessons. There's been a lot of good leaders of this university. In most universities, at the age of our university, being the eighth president, they will have had many more. When you think of, I think we're 79 years old or, you know, moving towards our 80th year, and only eight presidents, that would suggest an average of over 10 years per president, which is much more than the average. So we've had some very stable leaders. We've had some very good leaders over the history of ULM. And we've had very good students. We've had very good students who have gone on to have very illustrious careers, which I'll point out several in this discussion or in the commencement speech. So I want everyone, again, to leave. I want our students to leave and give them a charge to move forward, that join the ranks of the alums. You know, you have success waiting for you out there. It's up to you to achieve it. I want to basically draw upon my predecessors and state how I want to draw upon their strength and their knowledge and their wisdom to use as I move forward in this challenge.
And as a lot of families do a lot of different activities together when they're in town for a commencement, there are a lot of other things going on, not just the ceremony at 2 o'clock on Saturday.
That's right. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, we're having a reception for all of the students who have achieved a Latin honor. You know, and it's the first time it's been done. You know, again, it's part of my desire to attach the students to the university. Everyone leave the institution feeling good. These students have shown outstanding initiative, superior academic achievement. So this little time with my family, the deans and their families, the vice presidents and their families, to come to Bonaire, have a hors d'oeuvre, soft drink, and to just personally thank them for being here and encourage them to carry the good news about ULM out to where they're going and they'll eventually reside. There's also tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at the Alumni Center a ring ceremony. I understand this is the largest thus far. It's students who choose voluntarily to buy a university ring. And in turn, they allow that we will be presenting to them at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And then, of course, 2 o'clock, the commencement ceremonies.
Don't we look forward to hearing all about that? We thank you for your time today, Dr. Bruno.
Thanks again, Jay. It's always a pleasure.
Comments or questions about the show can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu or send them to ULM Forum, care of KEDM Public Radio, 250 Stubbs Hall, 401 Bayou Drive, Monroe, Louisiana, 71209. Podcasts of the ULM Forum are available online at kedm.org in the listening room.